First Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I think that's it. Ain't that it? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the 23rd verse. Everybody got it? It reads, "For I received." I know your Bible says, "For I have received." But in the original writings, the word "have" is not there. You know, they King James writer put it there. "Received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you drink it, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, it's kind of ironic that Paul would be the one that's writing this, seeing that he wasn't there. Anybody ever thought about that? How did he know about all this and he wasn't there? But see, folks fail to realize that when Jesus met Paul on the way to Damascus, a whole lot more happened than him going blind. And a lot of times, when you can't see where you're going or feel what you need or understand what's going on in your life, you have no choice but to trust God. Jesus allowed Paul to be in a situation where he had to trust God. He had to trust God for where he went. He had to trust God that they were going to protect him, even though he already knew that the very people that he had been persecuting were the ones that were called to protect him. He had to depend on God to make sure that they gave him the food to eat. So many things was happening that Paul, when he said, "For I received," what he's saying is, "I received it personally."
Yeah.
I didn't get it from Peter. I didn't get it from John or Luke, but I received the information that I got it personally from Jesus. He said, "You can't get it from no better than that." I received. That's why the word "I" is so emphasized. And something else I noticed, you know, when we are telling people stuff, what do we say? "I am this," or I am going to do that. Or we always use the word "I am." You ever imagine why that word, why them two words are just seem to be in your vocabulary, in your spirit? Anybody ever thought about that? Because in the, God said, "For I am." He is the I am. And by him showing that said he was the I am, every time you say "I am," you got it from somebody.
Come on,
you
now.
Ain't get it from your mother or your father either.
Come on now.
Amen. Oh boy.
Amen.
So Jesus knew the I am.
Uh-huh.
He knew him personally. I mean, Paul knew him personally. He said, "That for I received of the Lord, that also I delivered you." He was telling them, "I received this, and I'm going to give it to you. I want you to know it's not something I made up. It's not something that somebody else told me." We tend to teach and say things that we get from other people instead of finding out what the truth is. Because, you know, the Bible says it's better to believe a lie than it is the truth, because the lie always seems better.
Yeah.
It's less punishing.
Yeah.
But the truth will do what? It'll make you free. And most people, I find out, don't want to be free. They like the condition they're in. They like the situation they're in. But Paul had come to a place in his life where Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, came down to him and met him in his situation and allowed him to be blinded, and he had to depend on other people. Anybody ever wonder how Paul got to the city? Now, he on the road to Damascus. How did he get back to the city? The Bible doesn't give us any information. If anybody knows, let me know. I haven't found any information that says how he got back to the city to get to the man of God. But somehow or another, he got back to the city. Amen. It's amazing that when you can't see where you're going, you can yet find your way. Because when you have exhausted all of your abilities, all of your strength, and you depend on the strength and the ability of God, guess what? You'll find your way. And the good thing about it is you'll find the right way. Hey, Steve, you don't find yourself someplace in some other man's house with some other man's... Well, nevertheless, he said that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Or, when it says betrayed, he actually surrendered his life. Because he didn't have to let him take it. You know, he could have called down 10,000 angels, or he could have made the winds change. He could have made it pitch dark so they couldn't see. He could have did anything he wanted to do because he was the commander in chief. He had that type of authority. But he surrendered himself. And these words that we're reading now are very important concerning the, and folks are arguing about when Jesus rose and when he died and when the Last Supper was, when it really doesn't make any difference. All you need to know is that he died and he rose again.
Come on now.
And now we have life through his blood.
That's right.
Instead of arguing about what all that stuff, but don't forget that. We're supposed to be teaching the word and giving folks instructions so they can live and make it through this life. Amen. Because it's, we keep saying it's going to get easy, but it's not going to get any easier. But in the midst of not getting any easier, you can have peace in God.
Amen.
You know, and with peace in God, you can travel this journey. You can make it through this journey. Paul said the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. You know, when you go to the Genesis and you talk about how they took of the tree, well, what the bread means is the bread of life. But when he took of it, he became a part of what he took. You know, that's like we assemble ourselves with people sometimes, with people that we have no business assembling ourselves with. And we take on their identities, we take on their characters. You know, when like I said before, when I was growing up in this church, everybody wanted to be like the Hart brothers. Right. You had one wanted to be like Doyle, one wanted to be like Raymond, one wanted to be like Maurice. You know, they had picked which one they wanted to be like, and that's how they patterned their lives. But they couldn't live their lives according to another man's dream.
Amen.
And Paul's trying to let us know that Jesus took the bread.
Yeah.
Anybody didn't take it, he took it. But in the midst of him taking the bread, he already knew that he was going to have to surrender his life because the people he took the bread from was there that was going to sacrifice him, that was going to turn on him. Uh-huh. Judas was right there in the room with them. He sat with them. He ate with them. He fellowship with them, and then he had the stupid question, say, am I the one, Lord, that's going to betray you? Ain't that ironic? He already knew he was going to betray Jesus.
Right.
Sometimes we have to get confirmation that we're a joke and that we ain't right. I found out I never needed no confirmation. I knew right off the bat. So here we are. Jesus was betrayed or surrendered himself as he took the bread because he was the bread of life. The bread symbols us, it lets us know that the bread, when we talk about bread, we talk about the word. We talk about authority. We talk about dominion. We talk about love. Because everything that the bread represents, Jesus is. Jesus said himself, for I am the bread of life. If you eat from me, you can have everlasting life. But we want to nibble.
Come on now.
We don't want to take a full bite because we're afraid, you know, the Bible, I heard this is man saying, you become what you eat. Well, we don't want to eat a lot of the bread because we might have to lose some or shed some of the stuff that we got on us and in us. So we want to nibble and dabble just a little bit at a time. A little bit of do you, but a little bit of Jesus ain't going to do you. We need to get all you can get, and when it get, it'll change your attitude.
Amen.
It'll change your disposition.
Yeah. Yes.
And you'll realize just how blessed you really are. Mm-hmm. Paul said Jesus did more than just take the bread. He was the bread.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why he told them. He said, and when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat. This is my body. Why is it important that when he said, take, eat, this is my body? Because we are the body of Christ. And he was sowing seed. He was letting them know that you can't be a part of who I am unless you do what I do. Or in his sense, do what I have done. Because, you know, they were about to sacrifice him. So, hey, eat. This is my... But I'm just fascinated that Paul had all this information. That fascinates me. That he was... That got to the place where he was so in tune with the Spirit of God or with the Holy Ghost that he could actually be taught on the fly. God took the very word of the Old Testament that was already in his life, which he was a scholar at, and used it to teach him truths concerning today.
Amen.
Amen.
Right now, that we're living in. That's why he was able to bring forth this message. Because, see, there was a reason he was bringing forth this message, because the Corinthians were out of control.
Uh-huh.
Really, it ain't no different in the day. Saints are out of control. That's your brother. You got to fix your phone that when he calls it back on him, it backs up and go right back to him. He only call you when you're in church. Some things don't never change, do it? Amen. So Jesus said, he break it and said, and we know that the spoken word is like manna. And he said, Paul said, you know, I didn't say it. It came from Jesus. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. The Bible, you know, our Bibles read it as broken, but the original Bible says, for it is, take, eat, which is for you. Because Jesus never told you that he was broken.
My Lord. Come on now. My Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Because anything that was broken could have been fixed. But if he had fixed it, where would we be today?
My Lord. Amen.
I thank God he didn't fix it.
Amen.
I wouldn't have had a chance.
Amen. Amen.
Run around in my muck and my, I wouldn't have a chance.
Amen.
And my delusional mind said I wouldn't have had a chance. I was really screwed up. But because Jesus didn't fix it.
Yeah.
And decided he'd allow the word to fix me.
My Lord.
But the only way I get fixed was by reading it.
Come on, Pastor.
And getting an understanding of it.
Amen.
And Jesus and Paul said, he said, you take it. This do in remembrance of me. Or as a memorial or a recollection or making it personal. See, we make everything personal except for the word of God. So here we are, and Paul is giving him this after the same manner, also the cup. Well, you can't eat the bread unless you use something to wash it down. If you read the word of God, you're going to need the Spirit of God to wash it down and to bring it full circle.
Come on now.
You got to have, and see, I like it when he talks about the cup because, you know, when we do the communion, we take the bread and we take the cup. And we're doing the same thing, but you have to understand something. When he talks about the cup isn't talking about a glass of water. It's talking about his blood.
Come on now.
So they overcame by the blood and the word of the Lamb. We're paraphrasing, but that's what it's saying. They overcame by the word of the Lamb and by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's, thank you, sister. Word of your testimony. And that's what it is. But how was your testimony? We fail to realize that he didn't just die for naught. He died that we might have life. Amen. And that we might have it more abundantly. We assume abundant life has to deal with better cars, bigger houses. No, abundant life is having the ability to keep moving in the midst of trouble. Amen. To have peace in the midst of turmoil. Amen. To be able to praise God when there's no, you can't find a reason to praise Him.
Come on now. Come on now.
You don't have no money. Your body is hurt. Trouble in your home. You don't like the way things are going. You got to force yourself to praise God sometimes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you can't see a reason. Lord, I don't have no money. Why should I praise you?
Come on now.
Lord, I'm sick in my body all through it. Why should I praise you?
Come on now.
I'm being attacked and afflicted and persecuted. Why should I praise you?
Have mercy.
But the word of God, when Paul was telling him that Jesus said, take of this bread, for it is my body, and of the cup, which is my blood, in the New Testament. When you do that, there's something on the inside of you that in the midst of the trials that you're dealing with, the troubles that you have, you can still offer up him a sacrifice of praise. Regardless of how you feel, you can offer up him a sacrifice of praise. Regardless of what you don't have that you think you ought to have, you can still offer up him a sacrifice of praise. That's what the blood, the bread, and the cup will give you the ability to do, to manifest the anointing and the glory of God, that you might offer up him a sacrifice of praise. It ain't right, Lord, but I'm going to praise you anyway.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the way they treat me, but I'm going to praise you anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sick in my body, but I'm going to praise you anyway. It don't matter if I don't have no money, I'm going to praise you anyway.
Hallelujah.
Because your bread and your cup made it real for me and gave me the ability to offer up praises unto you.
Come on now. Amen, 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 amen.
He was trying to teach them that there's more to the bread than the cup than just eating a piece of bread.
Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen.
And drink it from the cup.
Amen, Pastor.
Which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So that you'll be reminded of the sacrifice that he did make.
Yes.
After the same manner, also the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup, look at this cup. It's just not a normal cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anointed cup. Mm-hmm. The reason it's anointed, because it represents who I am.
Yeah.
I am the blood. My blood is the what? The New Testament.
Yes.
Fresh renewal.
Uh-huh.
Contact or realizing. You know, in my blood. And this is what Jesus said. Not anybody's blood, but in my blood.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we run after strange stuff. If I don't understand it, I don't want it. If you teach me something I don't understand it, I can't get understanding, then I don't want it. If you're not going to tell me to find out for myself if it's true, then I don't want it. You got to find out for yourself if the word be true. Don't take my word for it, I tell you. Don't ever take my word for it. You do your own study and your own research. Because you might find something that I don't know.
Amen.
I might have missed something, Lord. I might have missed something that you found.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I didn't hear Pastor say that, but I got it. I know when I figure out something on my own, I get excited about it.
Yeah.
Especially when I know God has something to do with it.
Amen.
I depend on the Lord all the time when I'm up here. When I'm up here to live, I depend on the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 So here we are. We supped. And you know another thing we don't fail to realize? You know, Hebrews says, don't forget to assemble yourself. Paraphrasing, in the congregation of God.
Right.
Don't forget to come to the house of God.
Right. Yeah.
You know why it says that? Because every time we come to the house of God, guess what we're doing? We're supping.
My Lord.
We're supping with one another. You can come to church with somebody that you don't like. You can still get something from them.
Amen. Come on now.
Just them being in the church.
Yes.
You might get something from them. Because we come together and we sup. When you sup it in love.
Yes.
We're supposed to leave all our problems at that back door back there.
Come on now. Come on
on now.
If we done had a bad time at home, we're supposed to leave it at the back door. Sometimes our car breaks down and we can't get where we got to go, and we want to come to church and be pitied. No. Leave it at the back door. Yes. You're supposed to come into the house of God with praise and thanksgiving.
That's right.
On your lips at all times.
That's right.
And what he's telling them is that you guys have taken this totally out of context. You've taken what Jesus told you and turned it into a memory. Yes. Instead of a memorial.
Yeah.
There's a difference in a memory and a memorial.
Come on now.
Memory are things that you remember. And most times the things we remember are not happy things.
Right.
There are things that try to separate us from God.
Yeah.
That's what Paul had a problem with. Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me? It wasn't so much that Satan was beating up him. It was the fact that the adversary or the accuser of his flesh was accusing him concerning what he had already
done. Come on now.
Reminded him.
Yeah.
That's why the word that he uses in this Bible, in these epistles, it explains the things that he dealt with.
Yeah.
That's what's so important about the word of God. What you deal with, you can explain and let somebody know that they can make it.
Come on now.
But if you never make it, your word falls on deaf ears.
That's right.
That's why certain scriptures he said that come to pass, he said, forgetting those things which are behind you.
Yes.
And press.
Yes.
That means that whatever you have to deal with in the past and it's come back to haunt you in the present, you have to press through it anyway. You can't allow it to separate you from your faith, from your belief, from your love, from your joy, from your peace in God.
That's right.
You've got to keep it moving.
Amen.
And he was letting him know this, and as often as you drink, in remembrance of me, every time you realize that the Spirit of the living God is moving within your spirit and upon your body, remember that I have paid the price so that you can see this and feel this. And experience this. You know, we wait on the Spirit of God to come down in our midst when we have the Spirit of God already in us. Simple. You want to see God? Praise Him. Because somewhere in the Word of God it says, for God inhabit the praise of His people.
That's right.
You know what He's going to inhabit? When it talks about, and God is talking about the Father Himself. You know what He inhabits? His Word. What is His Word? His Son. They can never be separated like men are trying to do.
Amen.
You inhabit, He will inhabit, He will come down and become a part of the Word that's in your life, which is producing glory and praise, because whatever it is you're dealing with, you're still going through it. And you got praise on your lips. There's more to the Last Supper, or whatever they call it, than just talking about sitting at a table, eating some bread, and fellowshipping with Jesus. Jesus was trying to teach them what it is to live. Then he goes on to say, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do what? Show. The word show in the Greek means to proclaim. You proclaim the Lord's death till He come. How do you proclaim the Lord's death? You know He died two deaths. He didn't die one. He first died unto His flesh. Where's that scripture at, Pastor? Somebody get it for me. Because it's important. I don't want to paraphrase. I want it to say it right. But see, Jesus was trying to teach them something at that supper. And the biggest teacher of all was Judas. You say, well, how could Judas be the biggest teacher? He didn't say nothing. Because he was showing them that in spite of controversy, in spite of envy, in spite of greed, you can still love them. You can still fellowship with them. That's why when we always talk about you can't go there, you can't do this, you can't fellowship with these people. You know, we want to use the scriptures. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. But it's not talking about worldly folks. How they going to get saved? How they going to know about Jesus if you ain't around them?
Come on, man.
Because you think you're better than they are.
Man.
Jesus said, this ain't your body. This is my body.
Man.
And I want you to proclaim and show forth the Lord's death. Let them know why I died and rose again. Don't just tell them, but show them.
Amen.
Show folks why I died, why I came, why I died, and why I rose again. Don't just stand there and tell them, give them lip service. Show them. You got it, Brad? Who got it? Let me get y'all the mic. Y'all play too much.
1 Corinthians 15:45.
Don't you say it yet, Red.
1 Corinthians 15:45. He says, and so it is written, first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickened spirit.
What does it say? Say it one more time.
It says, and it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. Last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
A quickening spirit. Somebody had to go.
Amen.
Only problem with that is he's still here. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily that the bread that I eat may manifest itself and that the cup that I drink may illuminate what I manifest. What do you mean illuminate what I manifest? If I manifest the love of God, then it will illuminate itself.
Right.
So that people will know without you opening your mouth, say, I love you, man. They don't know you love them.
Amen.
Because they're experiencing the aura or the contact of the Holy Ghost, which flows forth from your life, which touches theirs. I tell folks all the time, talk is cheap. Don't tell me you love me and then turn around and start talking about me.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you appreciate me and then every chance you get. If you don't like me, just tell me you don't like me.
That's fine.
I can deal with that better.
Yeah.
I have people tell me they hate me. Thank God, I appreciate that, Brother Ian. I love you too. These people were in church. These people were not on the streets. People out there, they don't know whether they hate you or not. All they know is every time they see you, you make them sick. That's what the Word of God do to people. Amen.
Amen.
That's why they start calling us holy rollers. Like we're rolling for God. Amen. I'll get them back on stuff. So anyway, let's read 27. We show we proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily I'm filled with the Spirit of Holy Ghost. I'm baptized and all that old kind of stuff. And go out there and see you to bump my car and rip you a new one. You must have left the Holy Ghost baptized prior to the church. Remember, talk is cheap. He's saying that wherefore who shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily? If you haven't made the same sacrifices that God is expecting you to make, or you aren't trying to live according to this word that God expects you to try, you ain't perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. If you know somebody, call me. What's the church number? I'm not going to give you mine because you're going to blow me up. But nevertheless, that you show people. And he's saying that you don't want to show yourself to be unworthy when it comes to the things of God. You don't want people to have bad things to say about who you represent. Because you say one thing and you portray another. He said, "Don't if you're not going to do it, don't pretend to do it. Just be who you are.
Amen.
And learn to accept responsibilities for that action. It shall, you shall be gifted. That means you're going to be liable. When it talks about guilty, it's not like being in court. But when they hit the gavel and call you guilty, you're looking to spend some prison time or something. But when the Bible says it holds you liable, that means somewhere down the road, you're going to pay for what you sold. I've heard folks say, well, you're whole liable or you're guilty to when you get to heaven. No, you're going to pay for what you did here. That's how the word, that's how the word works. It, what good is it going to do you when you get to heaven? Or wherever we're going, or wherever you're going, it ain't going to do you no good. The word applies itself to your life right here in this earth right now. For now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
Now.
Not yesterday, not the future, but right now.
Right
this
now.
Very second, this very moment that we're living in is affected by what we believe and what we know about Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want to be held liable of the Lord's blood, the blood of the Lamb, blood of the Lord. But lay man, this is where we find the biggest problem at. And this is where he knew they would find the biggest problem at, because they didn't want to examine themselves. I examine myself. I check myself out. Because I know I can go there and I can be that sometimes. So I have to check myself. I have to examine who I am. What I'm supposed to be representing. That means you test or you try yourself.
Yes.
You align yourself and you try yourself according with the word of God.
Yes.
Not according to other men's beliefs.
Yes.
Not even according to your ideas and your principles.
Amen.
But you take the word of God and you level yourself out with it and you see if you align anywhere near it. That's how you examine yourself. So if you do that, you won't find yourself judging people and passing condemnation
on
folks.
On,
because you'll always be saying, well, I've been there.
Yeah.
Done that before.
Amen.
So now I understand where they are. The problem with most saints, they don't understand where other people are.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we already made up in our minds that we're holy. And ain't no way in the world you can ever meet the, where I'm at. We just don't know. God holding everybody accountable. Everybody. And it is so important that we find out, that we check ourselves out and see if we are what the Word of God said we're supposed to be. See if we're loving people the way the Word says we're supposed to love them. See if we're caring about people the way the Word says we're supposed to care about them. See if we're trying to understand people the way we want to be understood. If you like to be kicked around, then I guess it's all right for you to kick somebody else around. But I don't like to be kicked around, so I'm not going to kick you around.
Amen.
I don't like to be talked about, so I'm not going to talk about you.
Amen.
I don't like to be prejudged, so I won't prejudge you.
Amen.
When we examine ourselves, that's the conclusion we're supposed to come
to. That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to do to you. So it says, do unto others as you want them to. Do unto you.
Amen.
Or as you would have him do unto you.
That's right.
If you sow hate, you're going to get hate. You might not get it today. You might not even get it this year. But you're going to get it.
Yes.
And when you least expect it, that's when you're going to get it.
Okay.
And then you're going to sit there and go, how nice to everybody. How did this happen? Well, sometime in the past, you wasn't. It's funny. It's like our kids. We yell and do all kinds of stuff with our kids. And then they grow up and we see them doing them to our grandkids. And we want to know why, where you that from? Where you learn that from? You know what it is? It's a learned behavior. My daughter, Danielle, I was saying, why are you doing Dominique like that? And I look at her and I go, and she'll give me that look like, you did it, Dad. She had to open her mouth. All she had to do was look at me. So, think about it. You let your kids get away with murder, they gonna let theirs get away with murder. So we have to represent God in every phase of our lives.
Amen.
Every phase. Because if we don't, it'll come back and it will haunt us.
Amen.
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 For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. Mm-hmm. Damnation is just another word for judgment to himself. Mm-hmm. Not discerning the Lord's body. You haven't figured out that he a part of the Lord's body, she a part of the Lord's body, they a part of the Lord's body, I'm a part of the Lord's body, when you don't treat me right.
Amen.
All it's doing is backing up what the Old Testament scriptures say. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You ask yourself, well, who is the anointed? Everybody that's going to accept Jesus into their life as their personal Savior.
Amen.
Because Jesus, translated, is the anointed one.
That's right.
One. Right.
That's right.
So when you don't do right, because you haven't discerned that the Lord's body is his body, didn't he say, well, this is my body.
Uh-huh.
Eat in remembrance of me.
Uh-huh.
Well, he wants to remind you. This is his body. We have separated ourselves from the body, and we've called ourselves this, and we've called ourselves that, but we're the body. You know, we want to, Baptists have accepted Jesus in their lives.
Uh-huh.
Catholics have accepted Jesus in their lives. So what do you do about their folks that's accepted the same Jesus that you accepted? Do you castrate them? Do you kick them off to the side because they still call themselves Catholic or they still call themselves Baptist? Or you accept them because they are part of the same body that you are part of? You know why I can tell people that really have Jesus in their lives? They practice love.
Amen. Amen.
They practice love.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard, but they practice love. They're not always frowned up at you, spitting at you, growling at you. But they practice the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
I stood in the rain last night and listened to a young man cry his heart out to me. That rain was cold. And I had a little jacket on. And I was ready to go. But some say you got to listen. He been looking for somebody that he could cry out to. And you just happen to be here now. So don't allow the rain to affect your listening and your understanding and the love that's in your life.
Amen.
It was out there for a minute, wasn't it? When I got in the car, my whole left side was cold. It was frozen. But first they had the heat on, so it thawed out real quick. And we had Mac in the car, so you don't turn no heat on, Mac be yelling, it's cold in here. Amen. So it's important. It's so important. So this is Good Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
We didn't do it the way we have been doing it, but we've done it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We follow the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And the good thing about it is, because of it, people don't know who they're attacking or who you're talking about or who you're jealous of or who you're hating on. Because you don't know it, it ends with this, scripture. I'll stop here. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And then I'm going to go back to the 30th verse. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among us, and many do sleep. The word sleep doesn't mean to sleep. It means to linger or lunger. That means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing for God.
Amen.
You know, spend so much time not judging yourself, but judging everybody else around you, that now you have become weak and you slumber. You're not doing the things of God. But you're the first one to say how holy you are. Jesus didn't die for that. When we're talking about unworthy, you know, what's our value? Are we unsuitable? I don't ever want to think that I'm not unsuitable. What I mean by being unsuitable, you don't have the ability to facilitate the word of God the way God intended for us to be facilitated.
Amen.
Or to allow it to manifest in our lives. That's our fault. Can't blame nobody. Everybody's
Amen.
Amen. Good work, Pastor.
Thank you, man.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
We have called it the Last Supper, but it wasn't really, because here we are supping today.
Amen.
Amen.
Instead of calling it, like she said, instead of calling it, it should have just been called the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Amen. And the good thing about that is we're still supping with him on a daily basis.
Amen.
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 Amen. You wake up some mornings and you just thank God that in spite of how you feel or what you've been through, you can wake up. And you just say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I find myself a lot of times getting up sitting on the side of thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because there are those times when I'm reminded what I've had to go through and what I've had to experience to get to where I am today. It might not seem that important, but it is. Because you could have gave up a long time ago. But you decided there was something more that you had to ascertain. The only way you were going to do it is by having done all else to stand. Just keep standing. So that's what we do. We keep standing. We keep fighting. We keep running this race with patience. And our patience produces faith. And in our faith, we can see things in a different arena, a different way, other than what we would normally see them. We can see them the way God sees them. And God sees us all victorious. It's up to us to make that decision that we are victorious. Amen. Take somebody by the hand. Have your mic ready? I'm going to ask Pastor Relford to pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, Father, your life that you have given us is everlasting. God has not changed, oh Lord God, according to what you have said. But as we receive you, Lord God, it changes us. Lead us every day to your path of righteousness. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, God. We're starting us on a new day that we have not seen before. God, you already been there, surveyed out everything, God. Made a way for us, God. All we have to do is have faith in you. Stand on your word, because your word shall not come back void unto you. God, but it shall prosper where you sit. God, I thank you for touching. new life is with us, O Lord, to change us, to strengthen us, and help us along the way. I thank you for dying on Calvary.
Yes.
Yes. Shedding your precious blood, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Ah, God, that we might have that.
Yes.
Have it for our money.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, when you laid down and you got up with him, God, we laid down with you and we got up with you, Lord God. And God, you brought it to our remembrance,
yes,
what you had done.
Thank you, Father.
And God, that you let us know about that purpose, God, and that why that you had done it, God, so that we can give up, so that we can have that life, so that we can show forth that life unto all that we come in contact with. Jesus, I thank you. We praise your holy name for this day, for this day that thou hast made. We shall rejoice,
yes,
and be glad.
Glory
in your name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.